Everybody, this is Pastor Buddy. Welcome in here with us tonight to the Shepherd's Call. 25th day of September, rolling right along in the month. We're live and direct tonight, and we're glad to have you aboard. Call a friend and tell them that the Shepherd's Call is on the air. Wherever you're listening from, get your Bibles. We're going into Genesis chapter 10, verse 18. We're going to take a look at the traveling band of the families of the Canaanites as they begin to spread abroad. And they begin to actually wreak havoc with the sons of Yah and the daughters of Yah. And we're going to prove that, that the gold of the fallen angels was to sow their seed among the holy seed. Therefore, they would have a right or a claim, if you will, back to heaven. You see, they're banished. They can't return. But if they could invest in genetic futures, and that's exactly what they've done by making their decision to miscegenate or to procreate, or in the case of the Bible, they begin to fornicate, adulterate their blood into the family of God. Genesis 10 and 9 says, 10:19 says they begin, that's the Canaanites, they begin to be scattered abroad, families, the families of the Canaanites. I want to ask you a question, Dave. You ever give this any thought? Where in the world did the Canaanites go to? If they, as a scarlet thread of identity, if you will, in this case it's a black thread, sowing their seed among, remember I gave you the analogy of the spot of paint, and this perverted seed, this race of serpents came from the serpent. From him came the sons and daughters. They were beginning to be born into the earth. Now, where did Cain get his wife? Did he go to and take one of Adam's daughters? Well, the answer to that is no. The Bible said Cain went east. Now, the Oriental race was positioned in the east. And this is where Cain married into the house of the Orientals. If you actually look up the word Cain, it describes you as a family, and we're talking about a family here in Genesis 10:19. It describes in the Strong's Concordance, in Strong's number 7013, if you'd like to look it up, you'll find that it says that it is an Oriental race. Now, an Oriental race? Yeah, well, that's what it says here, that Cain was from an Oriental race. Again, if you read Genesis 4 and 1, a lot of people misquote this. The King James entirely misses it entirely. They don't even come close to getting it right. Now let me give you the King James version here in 1. And Adam knew Eve his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. All right, now everything seems like it's in place here. That sounds logical. and it sounds presentable, and it sounds truthful. Well, it's not. There's one word in here that throws the whole text of Genesis 4 and 1 out of context. Now, we've got to keep this in context. So the word from, F-R-O-M, if you look it up, it is Strong's number 854. And that word is translated from the Hebrew against. Now, let me put that word in there in its proper translation. I'm just going back to the Hebrew, ladies and gentlemen. I'm not trying to bring anything here that's not there. If you go back to the original root word, this is the word that was there in place of from. The word from is not in the original text. Now, let me give you the meaning of the word Strong's number 854. It's against. Now, let me read it in context. And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man against Yahweh. Now, how does she know that Cain was against Yahweh as compared to Abel, who the Bible said, and she again bare, didn't say she got pregnant again. She bears, in other words, this is continuous. There is no interruption in the bearing. She had fraternal twins. One from Yahweh, that it was Abel, the son of Yahweh. The Bible said he was slain from the foundation of the world. This is the first son of Yahweh slain. It was Abel. And he don't belong to Adam here. He belongs to Yahweh. Now she says, I have gotten someone that is not for Yahweh, or in a sense, from his loins. Was she meaning that, if you would take it in proper context here, as it is supposed to read, that I've gotten a man from the Lord, that Satan is not involved here? Was Eve that deceived? No, she wasn't. That is not even the word. It is implying here that she believed she got a man from Yahweh. But she didn't. What did she do? She got a man against Yahweh. Now that changes the whole complexion, nature, purpose of the scripture there by just applying and interpreting or rightly dividing the word in context. The King James is actually out of context. They don't even get close to translating this verse of scripture correctly. And again, she bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. Now, Cain is Strong's number 7013 or 7014. Look it up. The word Cain and the family of Cain that we gave you here in Genesis 10:18, the families of the Canaanites, the Cain seed, began to be spread abroad. That means they were multiplying. Remember, they got a head start on Adam. Adam did not have any children in his genealogy downline until 130 years. Now, I told you 1,000 years is one day, so if you put it in proper context here and think about it, it was quite a while before that the children of Adam began to come into the earth from his loins. And this is the genealogy. You say, well, now, buddy, the Bible says Adam knew Eve, his wife. How are you going to get around that? You can see that Cain and Abel belong to Adam. Well, now, wait just a minute. Of course, Adam began to have sexual contact with his wife. This was lawful because the Bible said in Genesis 1:26, be fruitful and multiply. So there was no sin in Adam knowing his wife. That was the sin. The sin was a defiled womb of an unauthorized entry. You see, this serpent committed fornication against Adam by taking that bloodline that should have been Adam's and converted it to his bloodline, which became the families of the Canaanites in the earth as they began to wax great, build cities. Now, we're talking about a society that was building city, all of them Canaanites. And Cain went east to get his wife in the land of Nod. And the word Cain itself, and I've done told you about Genghis Khan, the hordes of Mongolia and the Asiatic race. If you take the proper interpretation, it was spelled C-A-I-N, not K-A-N, K-H-A-N, ever how you spell Genghis Khan. And then in this case, it could be spelled K-Y-A-N. But you see, the word is there. You can't escape it. Just like the word cannibal. You know where we got our word cannibal? From Cain ate Abel. You say, oh my God. Well, if you really give it some thought and think about what the father told Cain that he was to be rejected, he told him purposefully and truthfully that Cain, he said, Cain, your bloodline is not acceptable back into the kingdom. I cannot accept your sacrifice. You're a good guy. Yeah, you come up here to serve me. You come up here to offer up a sacrifice, something that you have the works of your hand, because you're a tiller of the ground. From the ground you came, and the ground you're going back. And you have no eternal substance to sustain you after you go back to the ground. You do not, you're not a renewable source. You're hybrid. Did you know that a hybrid seed will not reproduce beyond its original setting or planting? So Cain had to have some help. Cain was a bastard because he didn't know who his daddy was. You see, when Satan did his illicit act in the garden, he disappeared and nobody's seen that rascal since. You say, well, the Bible says in Matthew that the devil came down and attempted the Messiah. Do you believe that Satan's standing there looking on the furry face of the Messiah? No. Why? Because it was in the mind of Christ. He was battling in his own mind just like you do every day. You're battling against not flesh and blood, but spiritual wickedness and temptations in high places. And so Yahweh knows the law here. He knows the rules. All he had to do was to play the game and become a disobedient son like many before him had and fail his appointed trial coming up and miss or escape his death to shed his own blood and not fulfill the destiny of Abel, who was a son of Yahweh, and the Messiah himself was a son of Yahweh, born of the virgin, just like Eve had a tainted womb. When the son of Yah came through that tainted womb, there had to be a correction, and blood was a covering. And Abel had the revelation. He brought a blood offering, a covering of the lamb. Oh, my God, can you see? Can you see the purpose? And the battle is going on. Where's the seed of Cain go to? In Genesis chapter 24, the servant that was going down to pick out a wife for Isaac, Abraham made him swear that he wouldn't take a wife for his son Isaac out of the Canaanites. Now, what was wrong with the Canaanites? Well, ain't nothing wrong with them now. Evidently, because you know, if they get saved, they can go to heaven. I'm telling you what. This is one of the most stupid, asinine reasonings that I've ever heard. That there's still no enemy and still no tares here upon the earth. And you tell me that Satan can be saved and his offspring can be saved. Then I tell you that the Bible said a tree cannot bring forth good fruit. You can save the devil 1,000 times, and he's still the devil. You can put a wolf into sheep's clothing, and he's still a wolf. Because the sheep clothing, that he looks like a sheep, but he will not do the works of a sheep. He'll do the works of his Father. And in John 8:44, Christ said, you Canaanites. Who was he talking to? He was talking to the Israelites. Well, how in the name of God could Christ be talking to Canaanites in one sense and Adamite Israelites in another sense? Well, it's very easy. The fusion of the blood of Cain entered into the house of Israel. And I've done told you how in Genesis 38 it came right through the blood of Judah with a marriage to Shelah or Shua. Now, let me repeat. Adam was not deceived. The woman being deceived was in a transgression. Well, if the woman was deceived, and then who was the other party to the illicit sexual act of union in the garden? Satan. Now, let me make you a little challenge here. If you're a Bible student, I challenge you to go to the Bible and look at the genealogy of Adam and Cain and Abel. Now, if you do your homework and do it well and search the scriptures like you ought to, you'll find that Adam nowhere, the Bible writers nowhere attach Cain as the son of Adam. You say, well, the Bible says here in Genesis 4:1, Adam knew Eve, and she brought forth these children. Well, Adam could have known Eve 1,000 times after she was impregnated in the garden. See, this is outside the garden. She didn't have the seed of her offspring, meaning Cain and Abel, until she was turned out of the garden. So Adam knew Eve outside the garden, not in the garden. There was two that knew Eve in the garden, and these were the battling angelic beings, the mighty ones, who impregnated her. They had sex with her. You say, well, now Yahweh, I know, didn't have sex with her. Well, then he didn't have sex with Mary. If Abel wasn't a son of Yahweh, slain from the foundation of the world, and he didn't have ability to get Eve pregnant, then he had no ability to get Mary pregnant, which is exactly what he did generations, thousands of generations years later. And so then, that would have made Satan, the second in command angel, one of the trees that walked in the garden, and matter of fact, the only tree that she was told not to monkey around with, the word, now listen to this, you know, if we look at a word check here, and do a word check here, we'll find out in Strong's, the word lay is 398. Well, guess what the word eat is? 398. Lay and eat is the same word, yep. The same Hebrew definition for eat is lay, L-A-Y. Well, love it done. Yes. And if we change the wording, and she did eat with the serpent rather than lay with the serpent, if the translator to put lay in her, everybody and their grandmother would have knew what he's talking about. Well, everybody does anyway. Subconsciously, they just wanted to admit it physically, because we shouldn't talk about these things. Sex is something that is taboo. We shouldn't really get up on as preachers and talk about dirty acts, because, you know, you got to hide to have sex. And nobody said it was wrong or evil. Nowhere in the Bible does it say it's wrong or evil. What it does say is that you should not have sex with someone that don't belong to you, that you're not authorized to have sex with. There is the evil. It was the crossbreeding of the snake. She'd been warned not to crossbreed, to lay with the serpent, in which is exactly what she done, because she desired to have a baby that looked just like Satan. He was the most beautiful, handsome man in the garden. Did you know that Yahweh Shua, Yahweh in the flesh, did you know that when he walked in the garden, he wasn't a good-looking dude? That's true, ladies and gentlemen. I'm not saying that Yahweh was ugly as homemade soap. And Satan was a handsome prince. Satan was a handsome prince. The Bible describes him as a handsome prince. Now, you know beauty is vain, but women, being the weaker vessel, fell for the beauty rather than the manliness. You see, looks ain't everything. You can look good and be bad. You can look bad and be good. Because Satan has changed the truth of good into bad, and a lie, which is bad, into good, and deceives the very elect. And that's what's going on here. We do not have the ability, it seems. We've not been taught, the tradition has set in, and it's hard to teach these dogs new tricks. An old dog especially. I know what my Bible says, glory to God. And honey, it's just like it come out of God's mouth. Well, it was written in original Hebrew tongue. Well, I don't know about that. I don't know nothing about Hebrew, but I do know that English Bible is just like God said it. Well, it's not. I'm sorry. Do I have to make apologies for the stupidity and the ignorance and the fear and the superstition of people that's been brainwashed into believing that every word in the King James Bible is just like God said it, and there's no alterations, changes, or translation errors? My God, get real. We ought to scrutinize every verse in Scripture and check out every word to compare facts to fiction. And that's what the Bible encourages you. Study to show yourself approved. Well, why was it that Abraham asked his servant to put his hand under his dying thigh? That was a seal of a man laying his hand upon a man's thigh when he was on his deathbed. Abraham was old and stricken, and caused his servant to lay his hand under his thigh and swear to him that he wouldn't give him a Canaanite wife for his son. Now, what's so bad about these Canaanites then? It ain't so bad now. Is there anything wrong with anybody? No. If you're saving and claim Jesus, glory to God, and put your name on the Lamb's book, glory to God, you can go to heaven. That's poppycock. There ain't no truth in that. That's the biggest lie that the devil ever told and the devil ever will tell. You see, the devil's a liar from the very beginning, and he lies because that's his job, and he will deceive if you don't do your homework. He'll have you eating out of his hand thinking you're all right when you're all wrong. The devil and his angels cannot go back to heaven, and none of his offspring. You say, well, now Pastor Buddy, there you go in that offspring thing. Now, let me go back to Adam and clarify this. Adam knew Eve after she's pregnant. Now, he could have known her 1,000 times, and after she had conceived, within the fertile cycle, she was fertile for 72 hours. Well, 72 just happens to be the sacred number, and you reverse it to 27 and reduce it by totaling the two numbers, it's 9, and 9 is a resurrection or a rebirth number. Well, my heavens above, did Satan have the keys to the rebirth number? No, he did not. Satan does not have eternal life. None of his seed has eternal life. None of them ever will, never had it, and never will. If you ain't got it, you ain't going to get it somewhere down the road by being, quote-unquote, saved by these babbling brook idiots that get up and open a Bible and put on a three-piece business suit and fly around in jets and act like they save thousands of people. These are the biggest deceivers on the earth. Because they'll take anything you can drag, chase, or pull into the church and put them on the church rolls to enhance their coffers, and then they reap the rewards of deceiving those who have already been deceived by those that are deceived, deceiving themselves, following the blind, both going to the ditch, and if you're a victim of the deception that they use, then you're going to be in the ditch with them. So you don't want to do that. You want to study. I'm sure you want to go to heaven. If you want to go to heaven, you better look at the word lay one more time here in Strong's number 398 when it says, and she did eat. And she did eat. For he said, thou gave us the woman that thou gave us to be with me. This is Adam. She gave me of the tree. Tree, what tree? The family tree. The male and the female have ability to produce trees, ladies and gentlemen. What do you think we're talking about when we ask you to check your family tree? We're talking about going after and looking at how many pear trees you got, and how many apple trees you got, and how many locust trees you got, or how many thorn bushes is in the orchard. Well, there was a thorn in the orchard, and he used that thorn to impregnate. This is the Bible talks about it in the book of Isaiah. It talks about the serpent's root. You ever read that? The serpent used his root to impregnate the woman that was intended for Yahweh to bring forth living sons. Well, because Yahweh didn't get the first seed, everything had a prototype through the defiled womb. Therefore, death was pronounced on the first seed, and then everything that followed had to die as a result of the pronunciation of death upon Cain. You say, well, look like Cain's doing pretty good here. He is. Did you know that there's more of the children of darkness than there is the children of light? Yep, he's doing real good. Yes, he's thriving in the earth even today. There is Canaanite seed in the earth today, and they changed themselves into the people of God. Even in the days of the Messiah, these were the Canaanites who had fused their blood into the house of Israel through the stupidity of Judah. You say, well, you shouldn't talk about him like that, Pastor, but it was a stupid move any way you slice it. It was a move that almost, had it not been for the wisdom of a woman named Tamar, to come along and cause Judah to lay with her. She had to disguise herself as a whore. You see, Eve was a beautiful woman. She wasn't a whore, but she got deceived into deception. Well, here was a woman named Tamar. Her womb had been tainted by the seed that she had married to. She had married the Canaanites, ladies and gentlemen. She married two and was to be married to the third Canaanite offspring of Judah. You mean Judah had Canaanite offspring? Yes, he did. I know this is startling. I know this is going to uproot some of your belief system. This just throws a monkey wrench in Christianity, the way they teach salvation, that anybody, be it whoever, can get saved if they'll just confess Jesus. Ladies and gentlemen, that is the biggest lie that Christians ever told, and they're the author of it. You know why? Because they've been deceived themselves, so they've got this little let Jesus save you thing. What would Jesus do? Jesus will save you, they say. But will he? When we go back to the Bible and look at the facts, it takes more to get saved than just confessing something. You've got to be predestinated. You've got to be chosen from the foundation of the world. Your name's got to be on the Lamb's book. You've got to be born from above. I don't care how many times you're born from below. Anything that's born from below ain't going. Flesh and blood will not inherit the kingdom. But those who are eternal spirits and those who existed prior to Satan. You see, ladies and gentlemen, would you believe this if I said it? Let me try again and see. This is an astounding statement I'm about to make. Adam and Eve and their offspring prior to coming to this earth. Remember, they're replenishers. But did you know that the spirit and the soul of that offspring that they were going to have in future tense had already been created with their names identified, and they were waiting in the heavens to take on flesh bodies? And Satan, knowing this, knowing that the great host was there in the heavens prepared to come through the righteous womb of Eve, Is a reproduction, if you will. It's nothing but a replay of what happened before Genesis 1-1. Then after Genesis 1-1 is a replay of what happened, because there's nothing new under the sun. What is to be has already been. And the Bible says that the word of the earth in its destruction form was not void, meaning that the word tohu here is desolate or became desolate. So the earth became, not was, but became. So then that means that the angels who had transgressed had failed prior to Genesis 1:1, and that's why Satan was waiting at the foot of the woman. Just like if you go to Revelations 12:1, let's go over there and read. And I saw a great red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns standing at the foot of the woman, waiting for her son to be born that he might devour it. In this case, Satan did not get to impregnate Mary like he got to impregnate Eve. This is the second edition. This is the second savior. This is the second recalling, if you will. This is the second call, and the third call is the third appearance of Satan himself in living flesh with his angels to appear upon this planet, coming to the temple in Jerusalem where the Jews are fast at work, who are the Canaanite offspring, or are they Canaanites? Let me read you Revelations 2:9. I'll quote it. You go there if you have time. I don't have, but I'll quote it for you. I know them that say they're Jews and are not, but are liars. These are the children of Cain who are fused into the house of Israel through the 38th chapter of the book, and many others we're going to give you when we get time to get down there. We're going to give you examples of where Yahweh had to battle the Canaanites to keep his women, his daughters, that were going to bear his sons and offspring and bloodline. And he had to literally battle them day and night to keep them from polluting as Satan did in the garden, the womb of Eve, and all the offspring. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a genetic war. If I'm called to preach and to teach, and the Father sent me on a mission 35 years ago with a vision to teach genetics and told me to go to the library. And I went, and I studied at a university for 2 years, almost every day, crammed all the information on bloodline genetics that I could get. And did you know something fantastic and wonderful? That it's the genetics of God versus the genetics of the devil, and we are caught in between and must make a choice. Did you know that only one family in the earth is genetically pure? You say, oh yeah, I know who they are. That's God's chosen people, the Jews. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I hate to burst your little bubble here, but that ain't true. In Exodus chapter 3:8, and I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians. Who's just saying this in Exodus 3:8? And to bring them up out of that land into a good land, and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. To the place of the Canaanites. Brought them right into the wicked house of the Canaanites. You know why? Because them Canaanites, in the third generation curse of Canaan, went up to possess the land of Canaan, and there they miscegenated in with the Canaanites, and these are the Perizzites, and these are the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Did you know in the 1000 B.C., in the reign of David, that the Jebusites, who were nothing but mixture of Canaanite seed, along with the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Amorites, and that's why he said in the Canaanites, and he said, have nothing to do with them, make no marriages with them, do not give your sons to them or vice versa, or your daughters to them or vice versa. So they begin to watch, you know, and of course, Israel began to get weak. They lost their will to resist. They needed commerce and trade with all these Canaanite nations. The daughters looked okay. They didn't know that they were bloodline mixed into the sons of Adam from the word Genesis chapter 3 verse 14. See, we've got a dilemma here. Satan mixed his seed right into the house of Adam. By knowing Eve first, he got the first prototype, and everything that prototypes or comes into the earth through that prototype has to die because it comes through a tainted, sinful womb with no forgiveness except the blood be shed for it. Well, do you think that Christ shed his blood for the wicked? Do you think that Christ shed his blood for the devil and his angels? Do you think that Christ shed his blood for the Canaanites? When he said in John 8:44, your father's a devil and he's a liar from the beginning and a murderer and abode not in the truth. And you tell me that all of a sudden that Jesus come to die for everybody and that God loves everybody through Jesus Christ? That's not right. Ladies and gentlemen, I hate to say that, and I may be getting on your toes tonight, but that's where I need to be, if so be that I'm on your toes, then if you'll move up to the Word, then I'll get off your toes. Well, if you're like a Timex, with the notation on it that says we can take a lick and keep on kicking, if you're an Israelite, you need the truth. And the truth will whip you and cut you and set your house in order if you will have it. And if you don't, then you go to hell with the rest of the people that don't want the truth. Because the Bible said they that forsake Yahweh, or they that turn their back on Yahweh, or they that will not hearken to his word and his commandments, they will be turned into hell with all nations that forget him. And you better not forget this. The Canaanites are the wicked seed of Satan and the offspring, and if you think you can mix with them and go to heaven, you've got another thing coming. You will be severely punished. Exodus 3 and 11. And it shall be when Yahweh shall bring you into the land of the Canaanites, as he sware unto thee by thy fathers, and shall give it to thee. For mine angel shall go before you and bring them into the land of the Amorites, the Hittites, and the Perizzites, and the Canaanites, the Hivites, the Jebusites, and I will cut them off. My God Almighty, are we compromising God so weak that we're saving everything that says Jesus, Jesus? When the Bible says not everything that says unto me, Lord, Lord, is going to enter in, wake up. We've saved the devil. We've compromised with the devil. We're petting snakes here instead of resisting them. Well, look at Numbers 13:29 as we go along. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, the Hittites, the Jebusites, and the Aramites, and in dwelling in the mountains in the high country where Caleb went up and extracted these Canaanite mixed in demonic demons of Cain who had become giants. And all Israel was afraid to go up at old that 80-year-old preacher man that stood faithful with that Ephraimite Joseph, Yahshua, that went up and said, give us this land, we can take in the other 10 feeble Israelites. And that's why that Almighty God disbanded the 10 tribes, because they were weak and sissified and afraid of the Canaanites. And that's what's happening today. If we speak against certain people, we're racist. And yet the Bible is so racist that every time you open it up, it just jumps out at you on every page. Only my sheep will hear my voice. This gospel is not meant for the devil and his angels, for it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom. And I've chosen you before the foundation world with your name on the Lamb's book, and you better walk worthy, and you better prove yourself, and you better get right with the King, and you better put on the whole armor, and you better fight the good fight of faith, and you better hold on to eternal life, and you better swear by him and not turn from the path of the narrow way to join the broad way of the heathen. As the Bible says here in itself, that if you mix your blood. Where does it say that at, Pastor Buddy? Plenty of places where if you mingle adulterate your blood to another race that is unauthorized to enter heaven, then you've killed your children with death. And Yahweh will dash their heads against the stone like David suggested. You think they had any mercy? That's what got the first king of Israel. Because he had sympathy. And the Bible says Yahweh wrought the kingdom out of his hand and gave it to a man and said, I'll dash the heads of these babies, these Canaanite babies, I'll dash their heads against the stones. My God almighty, we need preachers in a land like that, buddy. God is love. You know what love really is? Love is an opposition of a lie. Love the truth. And truth demands an exact payment, and you must make restitution for the ills and the evils of your fathers. You must straighten up what they've done and undo the mess that we've got in. If this country's ever going to be saved, we're going to have to get back to biblical principles, and we're going to have a cleaning in America. We're going to have a cleansing, a repentance factor, a baptism in the name, the holy, magnanimous, magnificent name of Yahweh. What about the name of Jesus, Pastor Buddy? What's so bad about it? It ain't in the Bible. That's all that's wrong with it. If it's in the Bible, as a saving power of God or the name that God chose, it would be different. But it ain't even in the original King James Bible. Jesus is in there. Jesus is in there. To God, EA, and Zeus combined together to make a pagan deity that people bow and worship and call on, and like they did in the prophets of Baal. It's the same old Canaanite trick doing the same old thing. Even the Canaanites know better. Numbers 14:25, and now the Amalekites and the Canaanites dwell in the valley. Tomorrow turn you and get you into the wilderness by the Red Sea. And in 43, the Amalekites and the Canaanites, they're there before you, and you shall kill them with the sword. No. He said, you shall fall yourself by the sword because you turned away from Yahweh by not driving them out of the land. Oh, you see, ladies and gentlemen, we want to compromise and say God is a God of love. Well, in this case, God was a God of killing. God authorized them to kill them. But what did they do? He said, these Canaanites and Amalekites that's before you, that are set before you, that are there before you, that you refuse to kill with the sword, you yourself shall fall by the sword. See, the same measurement, the Bible says, by the same judge that you judge, you shall be judged. The Israelites judged them to be worthy to live. And Yahweh judged them to be worthy to die. And the Israelites defied the laws of Yahweh and the commandments, and therefore Yahweh put the judgment that they gave them life, and he said, I'll kill you with the sword. His own people. You say, well, God wouldn't do that. Glory to God. If God will kill his own people, he'll certainly kill his enemies. If God will destroy his own people, you know that he will destroy his enemies. But he wanted his people to do it. And did you know that Yahweh sent by the sword and the pestilence and the curse? Well, he gave them the curse. He said, these curses will come upon you if you won't do what I say to do. Well, Deuteronomy 1:7, the book of Deuteronomy is fantastic. 7:1 is my favorite. The 7th chapter of the book of Deuteronomy is one of my favorite chapters. It's again where that he told them to go up to the land of possession and drive out, kill, destroy the 7 nations that's up there, and they were Canaanites. Deuteronomy 11:30, he told them where they're at. And he said that before the sun goes down in the land of the Canaanites, which dwells in the champagne over against Gilgal, beside the plains of Moreth. And there, they refused again to go in and drive out the Canaanites. Did you know? Listen to this now. This is a fantastic. Did you know that Israel went in and possessed the land of milk and honey, but they couldn't? Some of the tribes did not drive out the Canaanites. They left them in there. Oh, they charged them tribute, made them pay, but the Canaanites were so affiliated and so lovely that they dwelled right with them. Did you know in 1000 BC, just like I told you, that David finally conquered the high mountain of Mount Moriah, where Abraham was to sacrifice his son, Ishmael, or Isaac? Did you know that the Canaanites dwelled in that land for 1,000 years after the fact? Before Christ came, that the Canaanites were still in that land. Where'd they go to? David went in and he took the city. But did you know that he couldn't drive the Canaanites completely out? That the Canaanites stayed right there in that city, and they were there at the time of Christ because Christ found them in the 8th chapter of John, in other places, but in 8th chapter of John, and he told us to beware of them. Oh, yes, they turned very religious. Well, Cain was religious. It ain't everything. Like I said, it says Lord. Lord's going to enter in. Now, in Joshua chapter 16 and verse 10, and they drave not out. In other words, they didn't drive out. It drave here is the same word. They did not drive out the Canaanites that dwelled in Gezer. But the Canaanites dwelled among the Ephraimites unto this day and serve under tribute. Now, they wonder why they wouldn't drive them out. Because they had affected blood offspring from Genesis to the book of Exodus, chapter 12, verse 38. Look in there, it says that out of Egypt came Israel, along with a mixed multitude. These were the Canaanites that went down in the 46th chapter of the book of Genesis, namely two sons, one from Simeon and the other from Judah. Canaanites, bloodline Canaanites in the house that went down with Israel, dwelt with them there for 400 years, had a large congregation of mixed multitude, and these were kinfolk of Israel. So the best way for Satan to destroy a family is to get in their bloodline. I'll repeat that for you. The best way for Satan to gain your sympathy. You see, Israel was sympathetic. They wouldn't kill. Yahweh commanded them to kill and drive them out. Joshua 17:12. Yet the children of Manasseh could not drive out the inhabitants of the Canaanites out of the cities, but the Canaanites dwelled in the land. We've had the Canaanites with us. Do we have them with us now, Pastor Buddy? Get real. Honey, if you survived, you know they survived because they're the blood-sucking leeches that are still attached to for flesh sympathy. Oh, they've got my eyes. Oh, they have my personality. They're so sweet and lovable and kind. I'm telling you, you can tweak the cheek of a Canaanite, and you can pat them on the back and praise them and put them in a three-piece business suit and set them on Wall Street and in all the commerce banking into the government. It won't change them. You can't save them. They will burn as the tares are gathered in the final battle of Armageddon, coming to a neighborhood soon near you. You'll see the sons of Adam, the sons of Israel. You'll see them then anointed with the power of Samson and the cunning craftiness of David. And one then will chase 1,000, two will chase 10,000, and then, and only then, will the land be cleansed? Oh, let me give you the scripture here for the final conclusion before we close out tonight. This is in the book of Zechariah. The book of Zechariah is one of the most important books in the Bible. Now, why? It's because that there were certain visions here in the book of Zechariah. Certain, if you will, certain visions that gave us an insight into what's going to happen to the Canaanites. Now, what's going to happen, Pastor Buddy, in the book of Zechariah? Well, let me tell you exactly what's going to happen. The blood of Cain will come to an end. I'm going to repeat this now. The blood of Cain will finally, one of these days, come to an end. And why? Because the Bible is very plain about the two olive trees. Now, somebody might say, well, it's the olive tree grafted into the fig tree. Well, that ain't what it says here. The two olive trees that stand by the river, those two olive trees is the house of Judah through the correct bloodline, not the Canaanite mixed bloodline. from the house of Shuah, which was from the offspring of the Shelites, which were in 1 Chronicles 2:55. It says that these Kenites were the Shelites who loved the chief seats and became what Christ described as the Pharisees and the scribes. This is where they came from. And they were bloodline Canaanite, mixed in with the house of Israel. And the two olive trees by it, one on the right side, and one, and he said, what is this? And he said, I answered and said, let's talk with me. Then the angels talked to me and said, don't you know what this is? And he answered and said unto him, this is the word of Yahweh by Zebarel, saying, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith Yahweh. Listen here, folks. If you don't have this, you think Yahweh's going to put the spirit of Yahweh, the indwelling of the spirit, in a bloodline Canaanite? Never in a million years. I don't care what kind of name he confesses. Yahweh will not dwell in an unclean temple. Yahweh will not dwell where sin is. That has not been forgiven. And ladies and gentlemen, let me say something to you. The blood of covering is not for Cain, his offspring, or any of Satan's seed. There is no shedding of blood for Satan. There is no forgiveness, not in this world or the world to come. Moreover, we said, well, who is this? Then he answered and said, who are these two olive trees? And I answered and said unto him, these are the two olive branches. Remember, the stump was cut down, the branches survived. In the original stump, there is still access that the Father will renew. In the 11th chapter of the book of Romans, Yahweh will renew the power and the strength and the vision and the wisdom of the house of Israel when he turns Jacob from his ungodliness by the prophets that he will send. And in that day, here is what is going to happen as we read in the 14th chapter, as we close it out here, of the book of Zechariah. Now, follow me if you will. In the 14th chapter, and that day there shall be bales of the horses, holiness unto Yahweh, and the pots in Yahweh's house shall be like the bowls before the altar. In other words, a restoration of the temple. Not that is going to be built in Sodom by the lying Canaanite Jews. I'm going to repeat that. The lying Canaanite Jews that are going to build him a temple to sit in. And you know who they got the money from to do this? The dumb, blind Israelites. They contributed the money for Satan to sit right in the temple of God. God of this world, showing himself that he is the God of this world. And he's going to use a name that most of Christians will bow to right now. And he's going to tell them who he is. I'm Jesus Christ. I died for you. And here I am. I promised you I'd return and sit in this temple. And the Bible said that he will deceive the very elect. But listen what it says here. Yea, and in every pot in Jerusalem and in Judah shall be holiness unto Yahweh of hosts. And all that sacrifice shall come and take of them and see therein, and in that day, there shall be no more the Canaanite in the house of Yahweh of hosts, saith Yahweh. There shall be no more Canaanite. Now, of course, these Canaanites going to be all saved and raptured out and go to heaven. They're going to be cleansed from the house of the kingdom of Israel. There'll be no Canaanite walking in the holy city. I don't care how many times you've saved him, you Christian preachers that have saved the devil and his angels, you think that you can save the devil. But you see, they'll call nothing. Anything you can drag, chase, or pull into the church that's got money especially. It's got gay clothing on especially. Oh, they can pass land to sea to make one proselyte, and when they do, they make him two form of the child of hell to begin with. Ladies and gentlemen, we better wake up and smell the Holy Spirit. Because we've been deceived by the perking of the coffee. And I'm telling you, as those who used to read the tea leaves and the coffee grounds, everything's been poured out, and all that's left is the wrath of the Almighty God against the Canaanites and their children. and every one of them will perish, and all those that's been deceived by them that is sucked up to them for filthy lucre. And they've made party to their sins, because her sins is waxed up into heaven. And it shall come to pass, Joshua 17:13, it shall come to pass that when the children of Israel were waxing strong, that they put the Canaanites to tribute, but did not drive them out. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to get rid of the devil and his angels. We need to drive them out of our lives. We need to wake up. We need to get filled with the truth. You see, people want the spirit, but they don't want no truth. And John 4:24, it says you got to have the spirit and the truth. And boy, the truth is what cuts. The truth is what hurts. The truth is hard because it's against the world. The humanist view, the secular view of the world is humanism. Communist view is humanism. The New World Order is humanism. And religion has joined it. You know why? Because religion is vain. Churchianity has joined it. You know why? Because they never did have the truth. Oh, they had the spirit. Oh, yeah, they can shun down hallelujah and run up and down the aisles and shout glory. Well, I got to get out of here because my time's gone. I just feel like preaching. Glory to God. Well, this is Pastor Buddy. You can write me. Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824. Or you can call me, area code 423-626-2172. Or you can email me. That's buddy1@centurytale.net. That's centurytale.net. Now, if you have any questions, we're going to be on Monday evening at 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, 5 o'clock Pacific, 7 Central, and the 6 Mountain. And so we got the timeline all scheduled out there for you. So tune in. Don't miss one episode of the exciting series. We'll close it out on Tuesday night. We'll be on Monday and Tuesday night. We'll close it out with a 12-part series of the fallen angels. And we're going to continue on the flight of the Canaanite and show you that they wound up right in the house of God. Did you know that the Canaanites was in the temple when Christ came? He found the Canaanites living, taking tribute. Oh, they love the money. Selling doves and things of this nature for sacrifice. And you know what he done? He took the plaited cord and he whipped them out and he chased them out of there. And this was to be a holy place. He said, you've turned it into a den of snakes. You think he had any affiliation or any love or any sympathy or any desire to go into that hell hole? No. He said, you know what I'm going to do to that place? I'm going to tear the hell out of it. I'm going to tear it down. There won't be one stone left when I get through that place. And the Bible says he fulfilled that prophecy quite well. That the veil of that temple was ripped from top to bottom to expose that them lying Canaanites inside that temple who had access to even to the holiest of holies. That they came out and lied to the Israelites and told them that there was an ark in there to receive their tribute. And the blood to be sprinkled by the blood of a goat. Or a lamb or a bull. Not so. Wasn't even there. Hadn't been there for over 500 years. A lying Canaanite had to say, that's why he ripped that temple and showed it. That veil to show that in the temple there was not even an ark to accept the sins of the people. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're gonna have access into the kingdom, you better put on the great name of the King of all kings, that's Yahweh. You better get your heart right, and you better get on the road to victory, and you better stand up for the truth. Because if you won't stand for the truth, you'll fall for anything. Just like the world. Well, we got to get out of here. I'll see you on Monday night on Micro Broadcasters 100.3. That's the voice on the rock. To learn.